Man, it is a good day to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And if you're here to visit with us, if it's your first time in a long time, we're so glad you're here. You picked a great Sunday. I'm telling you what, God is doing something at Barrel Life Church. God's doing something in Moorhead, Kentucky that's overflowing into the surrounding region. And with that said, God's going to be doing something great in Grayson here coming the first of the year. And we're really excited about launching a campus in Grayson. And listen, you're part of the family here. Listen, maybe you're not going to be part of that launch team, but you're part of the family. You just want to know a little bit about what's going to happen there, how we're going to structure it, how we're going to launch it, how we're going to do the preaching and the teaching in that place. I want to encourage you, come back tonight at 5, and I'm going to share that. You're more welcome. Everyone's welcome to come and just listen to be part of it. And we just want to also say, everyone who's welcome and watching online, you're welcome, too, to come hang out with us as well. We're so thankful that people tune in. Listen, literally all over the world. Is that not crazy to see what God is doing right here in Moorhead, Kentucky? And so listen, we're going to jump into the message this morning. So let's just go ahead and pray and ask God to prepare our hearts that we would just encounter Him. We know He's in this place. I know God has spoken to you through the unbelievable team members. I know the Lord has spoken to you through worship. And now let's just pray that God would speak through us through the preaching of His word. Come on, would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much that you woke us up this morning, that God, you gave us breath this morning, and that we are not here by accident, whether we're watching online or we're in the house. And God, for us to be here means that you have a purpose, that you have a plan for us, that God, you have a word for us. And so, Father, we come before you this morning and ask you to speak to us, that you would open the eyes of our heart and we will see your son, Jesus. And God, we will encounter him. Father, you know everything about us. You know those of us who are struggling in areas of our life. And you know, and you brought us here today. And God, I pray today right now that marriages will be fixed, that addictions will be broken, that prodigals would come home and people would encounter you this morning and see how great and grand you are and how much that you love us. So Holy Spirit, have your way. You are welcome in this place. And for the next few moments, we pray you just calm our hearts and our mind that we encounter you. It's in your name we ask and we pray. Come on now, and everybody say, amen, amen. You may be seated. Look at the person beside you. Say, I'm glad you're here today. Did you get wet when you came in? It's raining. Great day to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. You can turn your Bibles on, maybe in your phone. This is 1 Peter chapter 2. This is our foundational passage for this series. So I want you to go there. Hang tight. I will catch up with you just in a moment in 1 Peter chapter 2. I got a question for you, though, before we begin. How many of you have ever had backstage passes before? You had a backstage pass or something, right? You got backstage, right? I can't stand people like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did you get that? Right? I mean, maybe you entered a draw and you're listening to Caleb or something on the radio. Next thing you know, like, hey, you win 2 free tickets and you and whoever you want get backstage passes to see whoever at the concert, the author, or whatever it may be for you. I've really never got any type of backstage passes. Now, I've always wanted to know what happens backstage, right? Like, I wish I could go backstage and meet so-and-so and get back there and see what takes place. But really, honestly, that's never even happened to me. The only thing close to that, kind of remotely, is I've been to a conference, this church conferences before, and I went to a conference and the largest churches in the country's pastors were speaking there, and if I'd mention them, you probably know who they were, and they're all speaking, and after the conference or in between talks, they would go to a green room, and a green room is where they hang out, and they get some snacks and coffees and hang out, you know, and all the speakers would get together, and one time I was at a conference, and the guy came up to me and said, come on, Daniel, let's go with me. I said, where are we going? Come here, I'll show you. And I went with him, and he took me back into the green room. And as I walked into the green room, there they are. I'm talking about, these are like the pastor of the largest churches in America. And they're all lined up, and they're talking, having coffee. And I'm so out of place. I feel like a hot dog in a steakhouse. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there before? Like, it's like, what am I doing here? And I've got a backstage pass, and I, you know, I want to go up to him. I was like, man, would you, like, sign my Bible? You know, I'm like, I mean, you, I listen to you. I mean, listen to me. These are like pillars of the faith. And you come to find out they're just ordinary folks just like you, you know. And you got to meet, you got a backstage pass. You know, back in the Old Testament, there's a place that everyone wished they had a backstage pass to. And this was found in a tabernacle. And it's a place called the Holies of Holies. This is a place where God descended down and spoke to man. And people a lot of times say, I can't believe that your church was portable for 9.5 years. Like, we were portable. We set up and tore down every single Sunday for 9.5 years, y'all. I mean, that's a long time. But you know, back in the day, the Israelites, you know, they had a portable church for over 40 years. For 40 years when they wandered in the wilderness, they would set a tabernacle up and have church. See, God said, listen, here's what God said. He goes, I'm no longer going to be talking just to Moses. I want to come down and meet with man. I want to come down and hang out with the common folk. I want to come down and encounter you. So here's what I want you to do. You got to build a tabernacle that would like hold my splendor and my glory. And I will come down and set and meet with you. And if you want to read about it in Exodus chapter 26. And Exodus 26, you can write that down if you're taking notes. Go home and read that, because God explains what the tabernacle should look like. I mean, it's crazy. It's fascinating. He gives these little details of gold and purple and royalty and linens and bells. And I mean, God, it's just crazy stuff. And then he says to the priest who comes into his presence, in chapter 28, Exodus, or Leviticus 16, you can find out what the priest had to wear. And I'm telling you what, it was crazy. The priest had to go take a bath, and then they had to put clothes on, and then they did sacrifices, and then they had to take a bath again and put more clothes on. I mean, the details of it is just so fascinating. But it was in the holies of holies, the most holy place, the Bible says, is that where God met with man, and everyone wanted to see what's in the curtain, what's behind the curtain, what's backstage. So I didn't bring a drawing up and I didn't put a picture up, because we got great imaginations. We should use the imagination that God's given us. I want to explain to you what this tabernacle real quickly looked like. And you can read about all the details. I'm leaving a lot out, but just so that we'd understand. So imagine this room here was the tabernacle, except we didn't have a roof on top of it, which we're glad we have a roof today. Can I get an amen? If not, our hairs will be messed up. But anyway, that's another whole mess. We'll get to that. Anyway, I know it's shade. My wife likes it, so get over it. But anyway, So we're in a tabernacle. So imagine me and you, right? We're just common folks. We come to the tabernacle. And why would we come here? We would come once a year and offer up a sacrifice to God for all our sins that we've done for one entire year. For some of that, we got to bring like two sacrifices. Know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, we got to bring something to the Lord. So you and I were allowed to come into the courtyard. So imagine where you are sitting right now. This is the courtyard. So we would come in with our sacrifice and say, listen, we've been pretty rotten sinners this year, and hopefully God will take our sacrifice, and we would give the sacrifice over, and they would sacrifice it. So why? Because there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And so there had to be something sacrificed to say, you know, that I forgive you. Plus, as a reminder to the Israelites, hey, don't get past this. You still sin. You still got sin in your life. So you and I could come into the courtyard. But then imagine the front of the stage is where the temple like kind of started. And on stage here is a room. This was called the holy place. This is where the priest, after they got their linens and everything on, the priest would come back here in this room right here. And they would get everything ready for the high priest to go into the most holy place. And this was called the holies of holies. You had the courtyard, you had the holy place, but behind curtain number two, right? Come on, who wants to know what's behind curtain number two? Behind the curtain was the holies of holies. This was the most holy place. And everyone wanted to know what's backstage. Like, God's back there. What does he look like? Can I talk to him? Everyone wanted a backstage pass to get back there. But in the holies of holies, the Bible tells us what's behind there. There's a few little things they had back there, but the main thing was the Ark of the Covenant. And anybody like Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark? Come on, where's my Indiana Jones folks? Come on, I see you, right? Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, inside of it had like manna, had the stone tablets that Moses wrote the law on, had Aaron's rod and stuff like that. And they had it sewed up, but it had two cherubims facing each other, and their wings would be stretched out, and right on top of the Ark of the Covenant, right in the dead center of the Ark of the Covenant, was called the atonement cover. It was called the mercy seat of God. And that's where God, after the temple, the tabernacle was set up, after the curtain was put there, and the curtain, by the way, was 3 feet thick. Could you imagine that? It's a thick curtain. 3 feet thick. They set the Ark of the Covenant back there, the curtain was dropped, and then God would descend onto the Ark of the Covenant, where he would come down and he would meet with man. And everyone would have backstage pass. I want to see what's back there. But there's a problem. Look at this. This is fascinating. You can see this in Exodus chapter 25. Here's what happens. God says this, I will meet with you and talk with you from above the atonement cover between the gold cherubim, and I will hover over the Ark of Covenant. But there's an issue. Only one person could go back there. And he only could go back there one time a year. And that was the high priest. The high priest would come into the holy place. The priest would get everything set up for him. And then the high priest would go back here and be the mediator and would get here and talk on behalf and make sure everything was atoned for, make sure everything was taken place. He was the only one that could go back there and get the backstage pass. In fact, the author of Hebrews tells us this, chapter 9, but only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and he only once a year, after he offered up a blood sacrifice for him, his sins and the sins of the people of Israel, committed in ignorance. So watch this. They go to the bronze altar. He would sacrifice an animal. He'd take a hyssop branch. He would dip blood into it, and then he'd go into the holy place. They would get him ready. He's ready, and then he would go behind the curtain. Pray for me. He'd go behind the curtain, and he would step behind the curtain, and he would take the hyssop branch, and he would splatter it 7 times onto the mercy seat of God. 7 times. No one knows what's going on back here. And he was sprinkling the blood to atone for not only his sin, but your sin. And he did this once every year. And then you would go home. And next year on the Day of Atonement, Jews still celebrate this today called Yom Kippur. It happens on September the 18th through the 19th. They remember the Day of Atonement where God forgave their sins. And then you would go home and you would come back next year and we would do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Now you're sitting here saying, what in the world does that have to do with me? Really? I mean, what does that have to do with me? Well, we're in this new series called Who Am I? And last week we talked about who we are in Christ, right? That if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, that makes me part of the family of God. And if I'm part of the family of God, I've been adopted into his family. And now I've been chosen in Christ. Remember, God chose Jesus to be the cornerstone. Some people reject it, but the ones who don't reject him are now in Christ. And since Jesus is chosen and I'm placed in Christ, that makes me part of the chosen family, the chosen race, that God is creating a new race. It has nothing to do with your skin color. It has nothing to do with what language you speak. All it has to do is with the heart that you have. And if you have a new heart that you placed in Christ, you are part of this new chosen race. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or you're Gentile or all in between. You are a chosen race of God. And today we're going to focus on the second part of that verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. You ready to get started? Say, let's go. That's all introduction. You better be glad it's raining outside. Here we go. Verse 9. But you, don't miss this. That word you is singular. He didn't say y'all. He said you. And you, and you, and you. But you are a chosen race. How did I get chosen? I put my faith in Jesus. He's chosen cornerstone. I'm in Christ. I'm part of this new chosen family, this new chosen race. Here's the second thing. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Here's the second thing we'll look at today. The Bible says, you are a royal priesthood. What does that mean? Well, what's a priesthood? A priesthood is a group of priests that belongs to another priest. A priest is someone who serves God and has access to God anytime. That's what the priest would actually do. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament and you realize Israel, there were 12 tribes to Israel. One of the tribes was called Levi. Levi had his own descendants, his own tribe. Guess who came through the tribe of Levi? Moses and Aaron. Aaron is Moses' older brother. So when Moses was kicking this whole thing off and talking to God and all this stuff, God picked Aaron from the tribe of Levi to be the high priest. He was the first high priest who was the one who could go back. He's the one who got the first backstage pass to go back into the holies of holies to encounter God. And the Bible wants us to know this as well, that only through Aaron's descendant could become a priest. Not all Levites were priests. You had to be in the tribe of Levi, but a descendant of Aaron to become the priest, to get in the holy place that can actually get you back into the holies of holy place. So when Peter is writing, there's a bunch of Jews sitting here listening and Gentiles, and the Jews are like, wait a second, what are you saying? Are you saying that I could become a priest? Because I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, y'all. I ain't trying from the tribe of Levi. What do you mean I could be a priest too? And what Peter is trying to let everyone, his whole audience know is this. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, not only are you part of the chosen family of God, you also become part of a royal priesthood. What does that mean? Here's what that means. You're a priest. Look at the person sitting beside you and say, you're a priest. Now picture the person beside you dressed like a priest. Right? Because here's what's happened. Here's what happens. You're sitting there going, I don't feel like a priest. I definitely don't look like a priest. I ain't gonna wear a robe, look like Obi-Wan Kenobi up here. You know what I'm saying? Pull out my lightsaber. So I don't dress like one. I definitely don't act like one. Are you saying, Peter? Now imagine this. Go to the first century. You know, we laugh at that now. They didn't have this kind of thing. He goes, you're a priest? You are a priest. What does that mean? Here's my main point. It's nothing flashy, it's not like a punchline. Here it is. Here's what that means. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you become part of a royal priesthood, which makes you a priest. Now watch this. Here's what that means. That means that you can walk in and encounter God into his presence anytime, any place, anywhere. It doesn't matter. Here's what that means. You have access to God anytime. Whoa. See, most Christians don't know who they are in Christ. See, most of them don't understand what it means to be a child of God. If you missed that, go back and watch last week's message. But today, most people don't understand I'm part of a royal priesthood, which means I have access to God anytime, any place, anywhere. That's right. How did that happen? Like, when was the moment I became a priest? Like, how did that take place? Well, let's go back to Easter. Y'all remember what happens on Easter, right? We celebrated Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Do you know that Jesus had seven statements on the cross? Seven is not coincidence. Seven means completion. It means wholeness. It means perfection. He had seven statements on the cross. The sixth statement, he says this. He screams out this word, this Greek word called tetelestai. Now, you and I were like, okay, what in the world that means? Your translation may translate it means it's finished. But what Jesus said, he screams out an accounting term. Tetelestai is a word that when you had a bill and you paid your bill off, they would write tetelestai on your receipt and give it to you. What does that accounting word mean? It means this: your debt has been paid in full. So when Jesus on the cross, he yells out tetelestai, here's what he says: it's paid in full. What has been paid in full? What happens? And then he goes to the seventh statement, and here's what he picks up in Matthew 27, verse 50. Look what he says. Then Jesus shouted again, and he released his spirit, and at that moment, the curtain into the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What curtain is he talking about?
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. The curtain where the Ark of the Covenant was torn from top to bottom. It was open. Now, that don't mean nothing to you, right? Imagine hundreds of years, you'd come, you'd have a sacrifice. The high priest would get dressed up. He would take a hyssop branch with blood. He would go back behind the curtain and he would sprinkle blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And now instantly, Jesus says, it's paid in full. The veil has been torn. What does that mean? You see, when Jesus said it's paid in full, here's what he said. No longer do you have to come back once every year to have your sins forgiven. The sacrifice now on the altar pays for your sins for the rest of your life. And to make that point true, the curtain from top to bottom, 3 feet thick, was torn. And the curtain wasn't open so that God can come out. The curtain was open so that you could go in. And now I can go into his presence. Listen to this. Look what the author of Hebrews says. This is so good. I'm going to have a spell up here. Watch this. Chapter 10, verse 19. Dear brothers and sisters, those of you who put your faith and trust in Jesus, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because the blood of Jesus. Now I want you to think about this. It is no coincidence that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. People's like, why wasn't Jesus born today? Why didn't he come today? Why did he come in that moment? Why was it 2,000 years ago? It's no coincidence. I don't have the mind of God, so I can't speak for God on behalf. Why in his sovereignty he chose Jesus to be born 2,000 years ago? But guess what was happening 2,000 years ago? The most gruesome, bloodiest form of execution was in place. And God sent his son to die a horrible death at the worst time that you could be executed. Because here's what the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And the Bible says we can go into the most holiest place because of the blood of Jesus. Now watch this. Now the blood has been sprinkled onto me. Now some of you, that's pretty gross. I'm not talking literally, figuratively. His blood has now covered me, which means this, watch this. I can go behind the curtain. I've got a backstage pass now, not because I go to church, not because I read my Bible, not because I tithe, not because I'm good. It's because I've been covered with his blood. And his blood cleansed me, which means I don't have to be afraid that I can walk into his presence at any time. Are you kidding me? He goes on and says this in verse 20. By his death, Jesus opened a new life, giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, remember, a royal priesthood is a group of priests who belongs to a priest. He's our great high priest. He's not only our high priest, he's also a king who laid down his life and sacrificed for us. He was the lamb that was slaughtered. That's why John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth once and for all. It is finished, paid in full. Your debt has been paid. He is our great high priest. That means this, Jesus is the mediator between man and God. Listen, I love my Catholic friends, but you don't have to go to Mary. You go to Jesus. He's our great high priest. You don't have to come to me. I'm not your priest. Jesus is. He's the one that made the way. Listen, Jesus is not just a way. He's not the best way. Watch this. He's the only way. Why is it so narrow, Pastor? You're so narrow-minded. No. God made it so narrow so everyone comes the same way so you wouldn't miss it. The veil's been torn. It's open. Jesus is the great high priest who's made the way for us. And isn't it amazing the moment Jesus breathes his last breath, the moment that the curtain was torn from top to bottom for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the complete sacrificial system stopped. Why didn't they continue on doing it? There was no need anymore. Jesus was the last sacrifice. He goes on and says in verse 22, let us then, because of Jesus, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, trusting him. For our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. You see, most of us, probably all of us, we all have sin in our life. Don't put me on no pedestal. I'm no different than you. I struggle with everything you struggle with. I go through the same temptations you go through. I lose some of those temptations and still blow it. I am no different than you. But when sin enters our life, here's what happens. It's been happening since the beginning. We want to run and hide. I mean, think about it. When you feel guilty and dirty and sinful, you don't want to come into God's presence. And our first parents and Adam and Eve, what happened when they sinned? They were ashamed and they went hide. And here's what the devil is telling some of you today. Run. God's mad at you. God doesn't love you. You wicked sinner. The one that tempts you to doing a sin then condemns you for doing it. You're no good. If you're really saved, if you're really Christian, you went and blank, fill in the blank. And you come, and we're glad you're here, and you tune in online, and we're glad you're here, but you go, I just really hope no one really finds that out. And you run. The veil has been opened so that you won't run away from God, so that you will run to Him. And I want you to run to Him. It's open, but I feel dirty. Listen, He says you can come with boldness. I don't feel good enough. You'll never be good enough. That's why Jesus died for you. Come. The veil is open. You have access to God. Nothing stands between you and Him now. All you have to do is believe. Believe. And I'm going to close with this verse. I love in Hebrews 6, the author says this. This hope that we have, and prior to this, let's put this in context. He's talking about the promises of God, that God's promises are yes. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. That's so good. That's another whole sermon, but we can preach right there. But is your life just kind of tossed backwards and forth? Your highs and lows and ups and down, and the seas and the waves are just crashing in. The anchor is His promises in your life. And those promises are the anchor for our souls. And look what happens. These promises, this anchor, look, leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. And here's the good news, verse 20. Jesus has already gone there for us, because He is our great eternal high priest. Our high priest is also our king. And our king was also our sacrifice. Why? So that you can have a backstage pass. It's all about who you know. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, guess what? You get a backstage pass to be in the presence of God. What? Even with sin in my life, yes, because He covers you with His blood, which sprinkles you clean, which means you've got access to God. Even when I don't feel good and I feel dirty and I feel with a guilty conscience, you have access to God. Why would you neglect such a great salvation? Why would you sit there and go, I got to think about this one? You mean I get to start over? You mean a rotten, filthy sinner like Daniel Lucas gets to walk into God's presence? Absolutely. So here's my challenge to you. Here's my invitation to you. What are you waiting on? Go to Him. The veil's been torn. He's waiting on you to make a move. I'm going to ask people to bow your heads. Two invitations. Whether you're in here or you're watching online, two invitations. Number one, let me speak to those who know Jesus. I mean, you're a believer, you're a Christian, you know Him. You got a relationship with Him. There are times in our life we have sin in our life. And when we do, we want to run from God. When you find out who you are in Christ, that you're part of the royal priesthood, I know sometimes you don't feel like that, but if you know that, who you are, guess what that means? No matter how you feel, no matter what circumstance, situation, or sin in your life, watch this. You have access. You can go with boldness and confidence into His presence. And if that's you right now and you're a believer and you're struggling maybe with the sin in your life, or God has revealed something in your life, will you just deal with it? Don't run. Don't hide. It's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's His kindness that He loves me and made a way for me. And if that's you, just deal with your stuff right where you're at. And then here's my second invitation. For those of you here and you're checking this God thing out, maybe you're watching online, you're checking this God thing out. And today maybe He just opened your eyes and tugged at your heart to realize, oh my goodness, He loves me. He provided a way for me, even yet while I was still in sin. I want to be part of this family. I want access to God. I want a backstage pass. How do I do that? Here's how you do it. You put your faith and trust in Jesus. And if that's you, just like we had tons of people in the first service, if that's you and you wanted to today, You can cry out to the Lord right where you sit, and He will hear you. And you can just say, Jesus, I believe. I believe you came for me. I believe you died for me. And I believe you got up out of the grave for me. And today I repent of my sin. And I turn towards you. Thank you that the veil's been torn. Thank you that I have access into your presence because I need you. Now, as best as I know how, help me live for you all the days of my life. I'm going to believe and trust this morning that several of you just prayed that with me. Because today you realize that He loves you and He's provided a way for you. And if that's you, just like we did in the first service, I just want to know so we can pray for you. Say, Pastor, I just want you to know I just prayed with you and I just walked through the veil and I just walked in the presence of the Lord and cried out to Him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, today I gave my life to Jesus. Come on, anybody else? Come on. Awesome. Anybody else? I'm so proud of every one of you. Jesus has made a way. The veil has been torn, church. We have some shouting noises to shout about. I am who He says I am. I am a child of God, and I am part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of the family, and I have access to my father. I have access to my daddy anytime I want, anytime I choose. He is there for me. When you know that and who you are in Christ, that should be a game changer in your life. So come on, one more time. We're going to worship. I'm going to pray over us as you stand. Father, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you of who we are in your son, Jesus. That God, not only are we part of the family, we got access to the Father. And the veil has been torn. And we have access to you 24/7. So God, I pray that you help us to receive who we are as we sing it. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Come on, let's sing.
Thank you for joining us online today. If while watching this message, you were led to take a next step or made the decision to start following Jesus, we would love to celebrate with you. You can let us know on our website at betterlife.church/next-steps. To stay connected throughout the week, download the Better Life app, available on any major platform. Lastly, if you're interested in supporting what God is doing in this ministry, you can give online at betterlife.church/give now. We're praying that you have a great week, and we hope to see you again soon.